Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, global tribe of disruptors. We have disruptors everywhere disrupting. You're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatics, your automatic way of being, your automatic way of doing, your automatic way of thinking. Today's show is called Dads of Disruption. We got a lot of dads in the studio, more to come in a moment. We are live right now. We're live every Sunday on WHCR, WHCR.org, 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem. You can also catch me live on WHCR.org and also on my Facebook page, Nick Papadopoulos. That's a long last name. And if you can get that last name, you'll learn the alphabet. Today's show again, is Dads of Disruption. You're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. Happy Sunday and a happy start to the new week. I'm Coach Nick, author, speaker, and facilitator around transformational and leadership topics and a committed disruptor. Why we're here is to awaken humanity so everyone gets to leave their mark. I deliver transformation and disruption in the areas of leadership development, corporate culture engagement, team dynamics, and personal development. And the Dudes of Disruption have a Dudes of Disruption men's group here in New York City. And we have three of those members here in studio, so I'm really, really psyched. And I also run a social action group. More to come on that. We're talking Dads of Disruption. Again, we have from our men's group, from the Dudes of Disruption men's group, we have Lauren Runnels.
Hello, Global Tribe.
We have Jim Hill.
Happy Sunday.
And we have Stephen Gareltz.
Great to be here.
Awesome. And later in the third segment, we're going to have Jen Groover, speaker, author. So first segment, we have Nick's riff and opening thoughts. Second segment, we have Say What, when we talk about an article. Today, we're actually going to talk about a book. In the third segment, we have Ask a Dudette, when Jen Groover calls in. And then we have our parting shots. Your phone calls, please call in, 212-650-6903, and send in your online comments, and we start every show with Nick's riff.
I know that, dude.
Say you want a revolution.
All right, we start Nick's riff with a quote. So I have a quote from Pope John the 23rd, which I believe sets a really good context for our show, which is called Dads of Disruption. It is easier for a father to have children than for children to have a real father. It's easier for a father to have children than for children to have a real father. And that kicks off our show. So what does it mean to be a dad? In today's world, how do dads balance the home, the workplace, as well as split households for those of us who are separated or divorced? And how do dads learn to define themselves and remain powerful in this new landscape? As adults, much of who we are was informed by our relationship with the man who influenced us most, our father, or the person who played the father role. Whether he was present and engaged, or disconnected, or not in our lives at all, the relationship with our dads, our fathers, has a great impact on who we be today. Jim, who you met a moment ago, shared with me from fathers.com how they define fatherhood. And they say that fatherhood is a verb and not a noun. In other words, being a father is about being in action. And today's dads have much different expectations than the fathers that most of us, at least in the room, have here, had in the past. Your children's primary relationship with their father can affect all of your kids' relationship for the entire life, from start to finish, including the friends they choose, the lovers they have, the spouses they choose, the schools they go to. And our relationship to them also impacts how they interact with money, with success, with intimacy. It impacts every single relationship. And those early patterns of interaction that dads have are the very patterns that will be projected forward into all of these relationships, from the spouse and the lovers to the money to success, and more so. Your child's intrinsic idea of who they are and how much they value themselves, and if they believe they matter, if they have a mattering conversation, and do they trust themselves and trust the world, actually relies on their relationship with their dad. So for the dads out there, and for the dads here in this room, if you're feeling a little bit of pressure, Spider-Man once said, with great power comes great responsibility.
Well, so, Nick, can I just interject here
course.
Quickly? If we have any dads out there, or people obviously who are sons and daughters, if you feel like you want to turn the channel, don't.
Okay.
Because
I like that kind of talk, Jim.
Well, because our mutual friend Armand DeMille, who was kind of like both of our mentor.
Yes.
He had a radio show also, and he would talk about, whenever he would talk about fathers, he would preface saying, wait a minute, you're going to find yourself saying, oh, maybe let me see if I can find something else on the radio.
Right.
Right? Let me see if I can do something else. Don't do
out.
It. Don't do it. This is an opportunity to grow, and you may feel a little funny, but you know what? You're going to come out of this feeling better.
Yeah, and usually when we avoid things, we do what Jim just said. We also do some other things like start yawning and start getting tired, and we start to check our text messages, right? So love what Jim said, which really what he's saying is lean in, because this can be a really interesting 45 minutes to an hour conversation. So let me ask the fathers in the studio, and obviously for those who are online watching and listening, please send in your online comments. We have three dudes from our Dudes of Disruption men's group, right? So there they are. Stephen, Jim, and Lauren. I want to ask you guys each, on a scale of 1 to 10.
Here we go.
How would you rate yourself as a dad? And where would you say you're excelling as a dad, or being or bringing a uniqueness, something that's new to fatherhood in 2017? I see Stephen stretching back, so he's ready to go. So Stephen, why don't you kick us off? On a scale of 1 to 10, how are you doing as a dad?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm at a 9.
Okay.
Right now.
Okay.
I mean, I had a beautiful week with the family.
Okay.
And I think for me, taking the time to think about this conversation alone yielded results within the family.
Okay.
And with my children.
Such as?
Such as, I wanted to bring to this discussion one really critical thing that I've discovered, which is the ability to sit back and listen to what's going on in the situation and watch my children and not pass judgment, but be there with them and observing quietly what's going on before
right.
I react and before I'm jumping in and reacting. So in a way, I'm being active in a very quiet and determined way.
Yes.
Where I believe the verb, the use of fathering as a verb,
right.
I support 100%. Loving is the same, has the same context for me. When you're loving, you're active.
Yes.
When you are active or reactive, that is not always the most positive action. So I'm an advocate here for sitting back, being present. I have two children. One's 11. She's in sixth grade. One is 8, turning 8 this week. So the beautiful kids, they have a lot of energy, a lot of excitement.
Yes.
But stepping back, seeing where they're at, and meeting them where they are.
Right.
Rather than jumping in and changing things or forcing a situation
love
to
it.
Go the way I want it to go.
Yeah, and I love that you said that being present and even being patient can be action. It's
yes.
just a different way of being active. I love that.
And I think it disrupts the fatherly tendency.
Which is what?
To react.
Yes.
To provide, to do.
To fix.
To hunt, to break things down.
I love it. Awesome.
So
awesome.
Thank you for letting me get on the air with that. And I hope that
resonates
with people out there as well.
Awesome. Jim, on a scale of 1 to 10, how are you doing and why? And what do you think that you bring that's unique, that would be disruptive to fathering?
I'm also going to go with a 9 because I think a 10 is a little egotistical, personally, and that kind of leaves you without room for growth.
Okay.
Right? I was a 10 this morning with my daughter.
Okay.
I'll give myself a 10 at that moment.
Okay.
I also have 4 children.
Hey now.
Carl, or Lark, that's my Lucas, Andrew, Reese, and Charlotte. And
you have an acronym for your kids.
Where's Carl? If they're all gone, I say, where's Carl? Right? It's being engaged, and you know we're going to talk later about what's our one lesson, and that's
yes,
it's really in being engaged and having. It's not just dialogue, right? It's assessing situations,
right,
and noticing and being there and saying, you know what, this is real, this is happening. I'm going to bring my best self to this situation.
I love it.
And that's what you do as a parent. You bring the best of you, and you try to develop and work on the things that aren't working, right? And it's not because you're never going to be perfect, but if your children see that you have a fault and you acknowledge that fault and you say, I'm going to work on it, and you're going to watch me work on it, and it's okay
I love that.
I'm not perfect. But you're going to see that I'm going to work on it, and I'm going to work on it with you, and I'm going to take whatever I've learned in my life, and I'm going to apply it and give you all the good stuff I possibly can.
Right. I love that. What I'm hearing actually from both Stephen and Jim so far, so Lauren, no pressure on you because you got some
no pressure.
Heavy shoes to follow here. But what I'm hearing, there's one theme I'm hearing from the two of you, Stephen and Jim, which is, and you can apply this, that you're both intentional in your relationship with your kids. You actually think about what you're wanting to create with them. And you can bring that way of being to your business, to your clients, in your community, if you're active in your community, clearly with your kids or other family members. Being intentional about what you want to create also gives an experience of, I'm in control of the situation. What gets created is actually on me. What I also heard from Jim is taking accountability. And we'll say a little more about that as we go in the show, but I think it's such a great quality, especially what's going on in the political landscape, where you see leaders who point the finger the other way, right? Or have a look on their face like, who, me? Right? And I love that you're saying that, hey, I'm responsible, and I'm going to show you that if I want something done or I want something different, I'm going to take responsibility for making that happen.
And not only that, if you look at what's going on currently with the president turning off the media, what that is saying you're not allowed to criticize me.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's not a relationship.
Right.
That's dictating terms as opposed to have an open back and forth.
Love it. Lauren, on a scale of 1 to 10, how are you doing as a father, a father time, and why? And what do you bring that's unique?
Right now, I think I'm operating at a 9.
Okay. So we have three nines.
And like Jim, a lot of room for growth, because I feel like what we can give to our children is that we're always in growth. And actually, that's part of life is to continue to be in growth. And as I was sitting here listening to Jim and Stephen, one thing that occurred to me is there's this old commercial that you guys might remember from when we were growing up. This mother.
Oh, you're going to show our age now, right?
Yeah. That's right. So there's this mother who is going through the backpack of her daughter, and she discovers, like, you know, some pills.
Right.
Right. And then she says, you know, where did you get this? Where did you learn to take these drugs?
Right.
And then the girl replies, I learned it from watching you.
So which is what Jim was referring to. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think in a much larger sense, one thing that we talk about in the men's group is kids notice things.
Yes.
And they're keen observers of how we're operating in the world. And so as a dad, what I'm sort of aware of is not only how I'm being present and intentional with my own son, Lyndon, who is a beautiful young boy, 11 years old, but also how I am in relationship with him and his mother, too, who's also beautiful. Am I, you know, what qualities do I bring to the relationship?
Right.
How do we sort of operate in the world in relation to others? Do we take responsibility for our actions? Are we reactive? Or do we say, yeah, that's on me, that was my fault, as Jim was saying? And I think referring back to what you were talking about, the president, one thing that I think is missing a little bit is we're at risk of losing is dignity. And Trump is, for me, he's sort of like the dignity of the office has been robbed by him, by the way he operates. And one thing I'd like to be an example of is how do we live with dignity and honor and trying to pass down what we value to our kids.
I love it. Yeah. That's so awesome. By the way, all three of these gentlemen who are part of the Dudes of Disruption men's group are being completely modest and or hard on themselves. I would give them a 10, knowing who they are, because being in a men's group, just that in itself, coming to the men's group every 2 weeks and being a part of a 2-hour plus session and having to listen to me coach them and put them on the hot seat. Trust me, these are men who are committed to being different. They are men who are committed to bringing a different version of themselves so that their kids, mm-hmm. their spouses, partners, their families, their neighborhoods, their communities can be a different place. So for the Global Tribe, we're going to take a quick break. Here's a question for you. What are some new rules of disruption that dads can bring to the world? What are some new rules of disruption that fathers, dads can bring to the new world? When we come back, we're going to talk about Say What. We're going to actually talk about the Iron John book by Robert Bly. Your phone calls at 212-650-6903. Please send in your online comments.
Who are on the road must have a code.
All right, you're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatics. We have in studio three of our gentlemen from our men's group. We have Jen Groover, speaker, author, calling in the next segment. This week we're talking about dads of disruption, new rules of dad disruption, how to be a different dad in today's world. The question again is, what are some new rules that dads can take on to bring a different version to the world? That song was by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. That's called Teach Your Children, for those interested. Jerry Garcia performs the pedal steel guitar on that track. And one of the lines that I love from that song, Teach Your Children, is, you who are on the road must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself. Teach your children well. He wrote the song hoping to get the message to parents to teach your kids to be kind, specifically. And we could always in this world, in any moment, use kindness and love and compassion. And what I also love about Teach Your Children is it's a reminder as parents, as leaders in our families, to help create the purpose, our higher purpose. In any family, just like in a business, on a team in a business, or in a community, you can create a higher purpose, a mission. What's your mission as a family? Who do you want to be known as in your neighborhood? Who do you want to be known as in your family? What's the legacy in your extended family? Who do you want? What's the legacy that you want to leave behind? We have some comments here from Pavel Lempert, who's one of our men's group members. He says, dudes, with a DZ at the very, very end. Anissa, my girlfriend, says, love what Lauren had to say about our current president. So thank you for the online comments. Okay, we're going to talk about Say What is our second segment. So we talk about an article or a book or a movie that relates to our topic. We're going to talk about Robert Bly's book called Iron John. Okay, I'm gonna put Lauren on the hot seat, and obviously you guys can jump in. Lauren, what's the significance of Iron John, Robert Bly's book? That was a groundbreaking book about 20 years ago. It came out related to this topic about dads and bringing a new version of dad.
Mm-hmm. Well, the book I think was a response to what Bly thought was a crisis for the American male.
Okay,
so he felt that. The value of men's work as had been diminished in society,
right?
And also, and as a consequence, fathers as role models for their sons, there was a disconnect between a value of the work that the dads would do,
right?
And so, what Bly does is he took the a fairy tale by the Grimm brothers, I think,
yes,
and he talks about uses the fairy tale as a metaphor to describe different passages of the young boy into adulthood and becoming a man. And during the book, he comments about different stages of becoming a man and what potentially is absent in our environment. And so I think one thing in particular was this rite of initiation for young boys.
Mm-hmm.
And then he talks about how if the father figure is not there to sort of guide and show what it means to be a man,
right?
That kids will sort of like go to other sources to to form their own rites of initiation, such as the popularity of gangs and so forth.
Yes.
So it talks about fathers, but it also talks about other positive male role models.
Yep. And the masculine energy being really important.
Yeah. And so I think this ties back to sort of the thought of like kids are noticing. So when they're growing up, they're sort of learning how to be an adult in the world by observing both their father and their mother,
right,
and relationship, as well as the community of friends around them, because these are their prime examples of what it will for them to ultimately become their own king.
Awesome.
Yeah. One of the things that I love about that book is a bunch of things.
We're talking about Iron John, Robert Bly's groundbreaking book about men.
One is the term murderously close, which is what was talking about the relationship between a father and a son, almost in like an apprenticeship. Say they were a blacksmith. They spent so much time together.
Right.
There was no question about their closeness and what they were going to do. And if you've ever been murderously close to someone, you know that that's a double-edged sword, right?
Right.
But also, it talks about indigenous people, where there was this rite of passage where the young boy goes and leaves his family with the men, and he doesn't see his mother for 6 months. Mm-hmm. And then he goes through this fasting rite and all of this thing. And at the end, what they do is that all the men cut their hands and put their blood in a bowl. Mm-hmm. And the boy, at the end of his passage, drinks the blood. Mm-hmm. If you don't know you're a man by that point,
right,
you'll never get it.
Right.
And in a serious note, there is a big rift between childhood and adulthood in America and around the world right now. How does that transformation happen?
Right.
It's missing. And that's where all this trouble is coming from.
Yeah, he does talk about in the book that's a missing, that this rite of passage from, as you said, as a child or adolescent into adulthood or manhood.
Can I ask Stephen a question?
Yeah.
So I have a son.
Are you taking over the show, Lauren?
I am.
Okay,
I am.
Good.
So I'm wondering, in terms of Bly, in terms of like the rite of passage for young boys, you are a father of a daughter too.
Yeah.
What do you think of yourself? How do you imagine your role as a father in terms of the rites of passage to becoming a woman? How do you, what's your role in that relationship as a father?
So my role in terms of, I think what I've been able to bring to the relationship with my daughter is, again, what I brought up around presence. I think being in discovery with her, communicating with her mother, with Sarah, around what is happening for her, to sort of be present around that and to understand as much as I can where things are changing for her and what is actually a transformational moment. And she's grown a lot in the last couple of years, and I see that.
What do you think growth. She's noticing about you? And like, as she becomes an adolescent, what sort of things might she pick up that might be important as she becomes a woman?
Well, I think for all of us as fathers, and you brought this up, Jim, my daughter is noticing everything that I do.
Right.
She'll come back and listen to the show. She'll be engaged around it. And I think that the energy is there for the energy has to be there from my end with awareness that everything I do is a contribution to her, and she sees all of these things.
Right.
Yeah, there's a difference between, so a son learns how to be a man from his father, and a daughter learns how to be a woman from their mother.
Mm-hmm.
But when you cross that over, what a daughter needs to learn from her father is what the standard is.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was driving at.
Right. Of relationship.
Of what a man should be.
Right.
So that's what they learn. They learn that's what the standard is. And if you can work on yourself and get that standard up, that's only going to benefit them. Or, you know, hey, it's okay. You don't need a man or you don't need a woman for yourself to be complete.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to go down that route, this is what you need to look for.
Yes.
I think another thing is that would be for your new role of a man in this age is like, traditional roles of men and women are the caretaker, men are like, you know, we go and hunt and kill, whatever. So, I mean, that can be disrupted too, right? So that can be reversed. There are men who are strong caregivers. And then also, how are we supportive to the women in our lives?
Right.
Can we just disrupt the traditional roles in that way? And so I think it's really important for me, you know, my mom was actually a role model for me. And I saw how much she sort of demanded that men in her life be in contribution to the household and not let the women in the relationship do everything in the household. So I think your daughter seeing that in you could be a role model for, this is the type of man I want to choose for myself. So
what I'm hearing, what I'm getting, at least from you guys, what I'm hearing in the background, if you will, is that what's important, or what would be disruptive, or a new disruptive way of being for dads, is to be integrated in the family rather than having these walls or this segregation of you're the mother and you do X, Y, and Z, and I'm the father and I do A, B, and C, is that, yes, those are, let's honor those. Yeah. There are, like you said, Jim, about, you know, boys learning from his dad and the daughters learning from the mother. Great, because there is female energy and masculine energy that's really, really important to get immersed into. And how cool is it to also see your dad, if you're a daughter, to see you engaged and involved at some level, to watch you and witness you support your mom in decisions around her, for example, and vice versa, having having the mom, the wife, the spouse, the partner, also involved in decisions that you're having and interacting with your son.
Yeah, how do you interact, and how do you accept, and are you open to hear what your partner says, right?
Right.
They're watching you both, right?
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, because that goes back to what I said at my opening riff, which is kids are learning how to be in relationship with anything and everything, right? They're learning how to interact and relate to lovers and friends and spouses and money and success and intimacy based on how you're being with your partner, or if you're single and you have, you know, multiple partners, but how they watch you as an adult, how you interact with conflict, how do you deal with frustration, how do you deal with setbacks. They're watching all of that, and I love that. You know, Lauren, you said a couple times that kids notice, and so one of the things I want to offer the Global Tribe is there are no throwaway moments. You're on stage 24/7. There are no throwaway moments. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be perfect. Your good news is that in the moments where when you may have, there may be an inconsistency, if you will, you get to own it, clean it up, and then that also creates a certain lesson and experience, and then you move on. Let me ask you guys this question about, before we go to break, around Robert Bly's Iron John, book, Iron Man would be the Black Sabbath song, equally entertaining. What's the difference in the book? In Iron John, Robert Bly talks about the wild man and the savage man. Can you guys share what that means? What's the distinction between the two? And what can dads learn from the wild man that would be disruptive in today's world?
Well, I'll take that, and you guys can riff on it if that sounds good
to
you. Sure. So he talks about the difference between the savage man and the wild man. And the savage man is sort of easier to describe because this is someone who just kills indiscriminately, doesn't really care for other people, takes them into account. Whereas the wild man has what he calls Zeus energy, which is this powerful energy that can be threatening, but is used judiciously, almost like a king would do. And I think of sort of King Arthur and the knights of the round table. We're watching the show Merlin, so it's in my head. But it's sort of a positive, strong male energy that's used with honor. And rather than savagery.
Got it.
Yeah, and I think that the way that I interpreted it from our discussions was to look at it along a spectrum, going from that destructive energy on one end, on all the way out to a much more creative space, which is on the sort of wild man side of the spectrum. So destructive to creative, and that if you're operating from that creative place, yeah, there's a lot more space and a lot more flexibility, and you're doing it from a higher vantage point. So that all the decisions begin to make sense, and you're taking care of your environment and yourself, and building as opposed to destroying.
Yeah, and the way I look at it is the savage man is what we become. Inherently, we are all wild men when we begin.
No, it's the other way around.
Oh, pardon. Yeah. So, well, then I'll pass on that then.
No, but you had the right idea there. We were savage man.
Yeah, exactly. The wild man is inside all of us.
Right. Yes.
Right. And we've let it go, and now it's our choice and our decision to go back and get it.
Yep.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Let me say this before we wrap. 100 years ago, dads, and Jim, you referenced this. Hundreds of years ago, dads spent time with their sons and taught them a trade, like you said, blacksmith or tailoring, whatever it may be, right? And more importantly, what they shared with them in that experience of here's how you learn this particular trade or skill was they shared a masculine energy with them, which is important in the development of a son, just like it's important for a son to experience and get immersed into the feminine energy as well. And so one of the consequences of the Industrial Revolution, the technology revolution, is that fathers and sons don't have that opportunity anymore, right? Dad goes to work, just like mom goes to work, and they're gone for 8, 9, 10 hours. And so two things happen. One is you don't have the opportunity to mentor and develop your son with that masculine energy. And the second thing that happens is that they're wondering, what the heck is he doing? Mm-hmm. Right? And again, you could apply that beyond even just you. It could be the mother as well. But mm-hmm. specifically because the father and son have a unique bond, what is he doing? And that separation often can cause a distrust or a suspicion with the male figure, okay? And so what I want to just offer folks, the invitation is, mm-hmm. because today's world is different than it was 100 years ago, what can you do so that you can find opportunities where you can spend time with your sons and with your daughters, where you can actually mentor them and develop them? So, for example, I'm going to be this spring a coach on my son's Little League baseball team, okay? Again, it's different than teaching him a skill or a trade necessarily like they did 100 years ago. However, it's in the context of spend time together, teach them something, be together. We are going to take a break. You're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. We have a podcast. It drops every Monday. We are in the top 10. We're ranked number 10 as of today. You can find us on iTunes and on Podomatic. Still to come, we have the great Jen Groover. We have some rules of dad disruption that we're going to drop on you and parting shots.
It's not time to make a change.
All right, you're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, Disrupting Your Automatics. Today we're talking about Dads of Disruption. You can find the Dudes of Disruption on Facebook, like our page, Instagram, on Twitter. You can also get me personally on Twitter at Coach Nick NYC. Also, Nick Papadopoulos on Facebook. The question for the show, what are some new rules of disruption that dads can bring present to the world? Please call 212-650-6903. That was Cat Stevens, father and son. I love the line where he says, take your time, find a girl, and settle down, think a lot, and remember to know all that you've got. Cat Stevens said that was a line that was written from a conversation he had with his father. And what he said was his father was running a restaurant and he was a pop star. And he said, I wasn't following the path that he laid out, but we certainly didn't have any antagonism between us. I loved him and he loved me. And I think that's also a great lesson as a dad, as a parent, is yes, you may have an intention for your kids. And at the same time, give them the space to become self-expressed. We have on the line speaker, author extraordinaire, Jen Groover.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Jen. You're on the Coach Nick Dudes of Disruption show. Welcome, as always.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
Yes, and you have a bunch of dudes in the studio, Jen, from the Dudes of Disruption men's group. We have Steven, we have Jim, we have Lauren, and obviously myself. So,
okay.
So, Jen, hi. Jen, for some of the newer listeners and viewers, because we're all over on WHCR, WHCR.org, we're on Facebook as well. You're an expert on the subject called emotional intelligence, right?
Correct, yeah.
So, as you relate that topic and that expertise, how is that related to why dads are being different in today's world? Or let me ask the question, do you think dads are being different than dads that, you know, you and I grew up with, dads that they grew up with? And what role is emotional intelligence playing?
Well, 1,000%. There's a big shift in difference. The number one thing I see is dad's desire to be involved and hands-on and ingrained. And, you know, I see this even a lot with divorced dads. Trying to really figure out how to play the role of, you know, when the children are in their custody, both mom and dad. And, you know, back in the generation that we grew up with, that wasn't seen as often, and custody wasn't seen as much as 50-50. It was more like 80-20, and every other weekend, sometimes supervised, where now, you're seeing more 50-50 in those situations. So those of you listening and don't know exactly what emotional intelligence means, I just want to clarify so everyone's on the same page. So emotional intelligence, I believe, is the key fundamental skill set in order to be happier and more successful in every aspect of life.
Got it.
And it's the heightened sense of self-awareness of yourself, but also of others, and your ability to communicate more effectively, be more emotionally available,
right,
more intimate in all of your relationships, and more engaged in every aspect of your life.
Let me ask you this, Jen, because some of us have daughters. Stephen has a daughter. Jim has two daughters. I have a daughter. My girlfriend's daughter lives with us. How do dads, because we've been talking, last segment we were talking a little more about dads and sons, although we were mentioning children as well, but specifically, because I know you have two daughters as well, right, Jen?
I do. I have 12-year-old twins who are almost 13.
Okay, awesome. So how do dads, using emotional intelligence, how do dads bring a version of themselves that will empower daughters specifically?
So for everyone listening, I am divorced, a very amicable co-parenting type of divorce. So I think that's something that's important to acknowledge for what I'm about to share. My ex-husband, even after we got divorced, he would always bring me coffee exactly the way I liked it and do things for me that were still modeling love and respect.
Right.
And I said to him, "Why do you keep doing this? It almost makes me feel bad." And he said, "Oh, no, no, this isn't for you. This isn't about you at all. This is about what they're watching because they look at how I treat you more than any other woman in this world. Mm-hmm. And I want them to want to be with somebody someday in the future that treats them with the same way, bringing them coffee exactly the way they like it." And that hit me so profoundly because that was such a demonstration of putting your ego aside.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And doing what's right.
Yes.
And so I think, you know, so much of what I take great pride in watching with my own daughters, and I feel is so important for every dad, is to, whether you're in a marriage or you're divorced, first and foremost is treating their mother with that utmost respect.
Yes.
Because that behavior that's being modeled is what their expectation will be. And then on top of that, treating the daughter with adoration and respect and creating a very clear conversation about their own sense of self-worth, the daughter's sense of self-worth.
I love it.
How they view themselves to the world and their value in the world, their value to their friends, their value in their schoolwork, their value in their sports or any other extracurricular activities, their value in how they engage with other people. And then once they do get to the age of dating, I think a lot of dads get nervous about having that conversation. But the conversation with the dad is, in my opinion, more important than the conversation with the mom of what a guy's point of view is and what that girl's value is and how to navigate awkward situations,
right,
how to navigate, not even navigate, keep yourself out of uncomfortable situations as well. And the dad's point of view and the dad's perception of that daughter's self-worth is way more impactful, I believe, than the mom's at that point.
I think the phrase, "go ask your mother," doesn't cut it anymore.
Right. Ooh, I love that. That's a disruption.
Yeah.
Right.
I love that. I love that. You know, Jen, you describe the relationship I have with my ex-wife, which is, you know, we spent Christmas Eve, for example, my girlfriend, her daughter, my two sons, and my ex-wife, we shared Christmas Eve together. Mm-hmm. We shared Halloween together. Mm-hmm. Because Lauren, one of the dudes that's in the studio, talked earlier about that the kids notice, right? They notice how we interact. And again, what I want to get across to folks is that those first 10 years in particular, they're watching every move, how you interact with intimacy, how you interact with conflict, how you interact with your ex-wife, with your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whomever it may be. And so I think it's really, really important that you get connected to a higher purpose. And the higher purpose, it sounds like, that you and your ex-husband have, just like me and my ex-wife have, is our kids, their health, their empowerment, them being and making a difference in the world.
And feeling safe really is about making them feel safe. I came from a family of divorce that was very disruptive, a lot of upheaval. And my dad was in a divorce attorney, so I witnessed what happens in that environment and intentionally did not go through the court system to get a divorce because of what I witnessed. And part of emotional intelligence in this disruption conversation is how people are handling their relationships now. And I believe the more emotionally intelligent we get as a society, the more relationships will have a greater sense of harmony, emotional availability. And even if it does lead to a divorce, the parents will be able to handle it more in the way that you and I have experienced. What's becoming more normal, I think that, Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin put a terminology to it, conscious uncoupling, but that's really what it is, and I hope more people do it. Mm-hmm.
Jen, I have a question for you. Recently, Nick and I participated in the Women's March in Washington, and when you're talking about modeling for our daughters as well as our sons, I think now is the time for a national dialogue on how women are treated and what we stand for and what we won't allow as a society. Do you have any thoughts on the present moment in terms of a national dialogue on terms of emotional intelligence as related to women and their and how they're valued in our society?
I do. I have a lot of thoughts on this, so it would be like a whole show in and of itself. I think on a very high level, this is a very clear tipping point, potentially, in the next movement of feminism. And I've been seeing this coming for quite a few years. I believe that feminism, to me, the next movement, the next wave of feminism, to be successful has to be not that one gender is greater than the other, but each gender recognizing what's our power, our own superpower. And I'm good at certain things because of my more dominant feminine energy, and men are better at other things because they're more dominant masculine energy. And if we can recognize those strengths, we actually come together to create a greater whole collectively on all topics, all over the board, personally and professionally. What I saw with the march that's a red flag that we're not there yet, and we do need a lot more emotional intelligence in our society is, if everybody didn't agree about how things should look or what the topic was, there was a lot of other women putting women down. There was a lot of stones being thrown, and that's not getting us anywhere forward. That actually just got us backwards, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So if men and women are going to stand for this moving forward, the emotional intelligent approach isn't about who's right or who is wrong. It's about desiring to understand each other's point of views better and coming to compromises and understand.
Jen, how can people get a hold of you?
I'm very active on social media. So it's my name, Jen Groover, G-R-O-O-V-E-R. Just remember groovy with an R. on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and jengroover.com is my website. And again, I feel that social media is where people engage the most.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for calling in. Have a great rest of the afternoon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
We're going to take a break. You're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. All right, you're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, Disrupting Your Automatics. We're talking about Dads of Disruption. That was Bridge Over Troubled Water by Simon and Garfunkel. The song's image of a bridge fits so beautifully with this conversation and with the gentle hand of a father guiding his young offspring through the journey of life. And really, the song really suggests that the father's support will be constant, that you can count on it, and that any worries will be put to rest by the dad. We have a podcast on iTunes and on Podomatic. It drops on Monday. We're ranked number 10. Please listen to it, download it, share it, comment on it. We have parting shots, and our parting shots are going to be, what are some of the rules of dad disruption? What are some new rules that the dudes in the studio here from our Dudes of Disruption men's group want to offer to our audience? And who would like to go first?
I'll go first.
Do it, Jim.
So I had mentioned before about go ask your mother doesn't really work very well anymore.
Yes.
So I'm going to bring that back a little bit. There's this experiment by this Japanese scientist. His name is Dr. Emoto.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I had brought this to the first thing I had ever presented to our group because it made such an impact on me. The experiment was that the doctor took three beakers of rice,
okay,
right, and he filled them with water.
Right.
They're equal in every capacity. But what he did was every day for a month, he spoke to the rice, right? So the first beaker of rice, he was very nice to and very sweet to. And he said, oh, you're so nice. And then he actually did this. And the second one, he was very mean to and had a negative energy. And the third one, he just ignored.
Right.
After a month, the first one that he was nice to started to ferment and actually get it off a pleasant aroma.
Yep.
And then the second one turned black. The one he was negative to literally turned black.
Wow.
The third one.
These are bowls of rice.
Bowls of rice. The third one turned rotten.
Can't make this up.
The third one, the one that he ignored, turned rotten.
Wow.
Now, I did this experiment with my kids, and it works. And it's fascinating. You can do this right in your house. It's rice, it's water, and talking, as long as you do it every day. It's absolutely fascinating, and it works.
Jim, what type of rice do you need in case our listeners want to try this at home?
I go with jasmine rice, okay, personally. Dr. Emoto's takeaway from this was indifference does the greatest harm.
Mm-hmm.
So the moral of the story is the things that, you know, when you're communicating to your kids about what indifference is, right?
Right.
You want to be active in their life. The things that you do are important because you're important.
Yes.
And when I don't show interest in the things that you do, I'm sending a message that you're not important to me.
Got it.
So there's this other great video, and I'll close out with this. There's a video on YouTube where there's these girls' ballet class, and the girls go and it's being filmed, and they come and they run out and they do a little dance, and behind them is their fathers.
Got it.
So each girl takes a turn, and then each father goes behind them. And it's not like this thing you see on TV now where the father is a bumbling moron and can't handle, and he's an idiot. He's the sitcom idiot. No, he's not good at doing the ballet.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the point. The point is I know nothing about ballet. This could be considered embarrassing, but I'm interested in what you're doing.
I love it. I love
right?
it.
Mm-hmm. Be there.
Mm-hmm. Got
be
it.
There. You don't have to be perfect.
Very similar to what Stephen said earlier about being present. Okay, yeah. We got to start wrapping up. Stephen.
Let me take it really quick from that point. I spoke earlier about being present, and filtering this through Jen's conversation around emotional intelligence, I just add to that it might be my rule for fathers today in 2017 would be to be active listeners in your children's lives, and that being there with them, watching them, participating when it's the right time to participate, intervening when it's the right time to intervene, but doing that from a place of awareness and a place of real presence in their life is one of the rules I want to put forward and live by in
my
own
life. I love that. And one of the things I want to offer to folks is that, but when we're listening actively, like you said, or even generously, what you're actually implying is you guys actually have the answer. You're saying to your kids, you actually have the answer. I'm just here to be a sounding board.
Yeah.
I'm just here to be a partner and a participant.
Yeah.
You are enough. You matter, and you are more than enough to figure it out, and I'm here to support you as a sounding board.
You're the most important person in the world right now.
Yes,
and I
love
it.
I
want you to be there.
I love it. Lauren, your parting shot. What's your rule of disruption for dads to be different in today's world?
Okay, it's tough to follow these guys up.
I know, I keep doing that to you.
Oh, my God. But here's mine. So I was thinking hard about this. What's the difference between like the old generation, the new generation? And I think the key thing is to be emotionally vulnerable, to say it's okay to feel sad, it's okay to be upset, I feel it, it's safe for you to do that. Create a safe environment for your kids, do not shame them, and just be there for them. Even if you're not doing it perfectly, that's perfect for them.
Right. Let them experience all feelings. Mm-hmm. Exhilaration, happiness, sadness, mm-hmm. vulnerability, mm-hmm. whatever it may be. Like, let them actually experience that, because again, that's what they're going to learn in their first 10 plus years mm. are those patterns and how to be with them and how to then leverage them so they can navigate through this thing called life. My parting shot is from John Lennon's Beautiful Boy. Close your eyes, have no fear, the monster's gone, he's on the run, and your daddy's here. And I believe one of the responsibilities of a father for their children is to always have them feel safe and to feel taken care of and that they have their back. They don't have to be perfect. Mm. What they have to be perfect at is being there, and that kids can count on them. My disruptive rule for dads today is, and this is actually for the parents who are separated and divorced, is that don't spoil your kids in order for them to love you or to love you more than the other parent. Eliminate that conversation. So, for example, my kids, right, I'm divorced. I have my kids a certain amount of time, and my ex-wife has them a certain amount of time. When they come over and they don't want to eat vegetables, literally, they do not want to eat vegetables, mm. I encourage them. I invite them. Sometimes I might be a little stronger than that. But my point is, something as simple as that, because mm-hmm. I know that having my kids eat healthy, having them eat vegetables is important, even if it means they're going to get mad at me, because what I'm standing for is for them to be healthy. What I'm standing for them is to have a certain lifestyle. And so the mm-hmm. disruption is, especially for those parents who are in separate homes, don't win your kids over by spoiling them or giving them everything they want. Win them over by being an example that they can learn from. Mm-hmm. You've been listening to Coach Nick, Jim Hill, Stephen Gareltz, Lauren Reynolds, and Jen Groover, who called in earlier. This is the Dudes of Disruption and Coach Nick Show. We're back next Sunday from 2 to 3. We have a podcast on iTunes and on Podomatic, and we end every show with a Hall of Fame disruptor, Dr. Seuss. Don't cry because it's over. A big smile because it happened. The day.